Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za. View Monday to Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m.
Well, thanks very much for staying with us. It's 3 minutes after 9 o'clock. And as you know, usually on a Monday, we have our road to elections. And the hashtag is elections on Kaya. That's the hashtag if you are on X. So do tweet in your questions. You can send those X's with your questions. My guest this evening is Laudi Motsoeneng, who is the leader of the African Content Movement, ACM. He's in studio with us. You can also give us a call if you like, by the way. 086-000-0959. You can send those voice notes as well on 063-688-0959. Let me welcome Mr. Motsoeneng into our studio. Thank you very much for coming.
Thank you very much, and your listeners.
Appreciate you making time for us. We're going to be discussing the offering by your party, Africa Content Movement. We've got an entire hour, so I want us to unpack it one at a time. Let's talk about what would be the priority on offer for the residents of this country.
Look, for me, what is more important, firstly, is deal with unemployment and check what is the cause of unemployment. The cause of unemployment is government is not coming with innovation to create employment for people of South Africa. You can't grow economy if you give people grants, because for this ruling party, theirs is just to make sure that they give people grants. But for me, I think you are destroying the future of our children, because which means they will depend on grants. There are no opportunities for them for jobs. But also, to grow economy, what you need to do, you need to fix the electricity. You need to fix the roads. You need to fix the basics, water. Because for investors to come and invest in South Africa, those are just the basics that you need to do to attract the investors. But you know, in South Africa, we don't have leaders. We have followers. You know, they follow everything. When the wind goes this side, they go with the wind. So we don't have tank thinkers how to deal with the issues. That's why the easiest way is to give people 350 grants. When it's elections, it's 370. That is not the way to build South Africa. Remember, South Africa is a developing country. If South Africa it is a developing country, what do you do? If it is a developing country, you develop your own people. You make sure that there are skills, there are business people, but government, you make sure that there is conducive environment for people to come and invest. So for me, priority amongst all is create employment for people of South Africa. We must reduce this issue of around 70% of our people, they depend on grants. For me, it's a nonsensical. It should not happen if you have a government that cares for our people.
You speak of roads, you speak of electricity, water, and so on. That infrastructure takes a bit of time. In the immediate term, what do you think would start kicking this economy into gear?
No, I don't think. I mean, if you are a born leader like myself, I think every time you can fix roads. Not you will fix everything same time, but people of South Africa, they should feel that there is something that is happening. But for now, currently, there is nothing that is happening. So what I'm implying in this scenario is, I mean, remember you have roads. I mean, when people fix roads, all these contractors, they fix roads during the day. And during the day, you have traffic. I mean, people go to work and so on. They stuck in those roads because people are fixing roads. But for me, South Africa should operate 24 hours. You must have people that you employ during the night, they must work. You must have people work during the day, so you will create employment easily.
The structure of that, would it be tender-based? Would it be people who are employed by the state who would be working?
For me, to move with speed, I think you need both. You need government to take certain jobs, to create jobs for people of South Africa. You also need investors, private sector, to come and invest so that they create employment for South Africans. You know, when you go to Arab nations, if you can go to Dubai now, you think it's during the day, now as we are speaking, because you don't know whether it's during the day or it's during the night. And people are waking at that time. Even us here in South Africa, there is nothing wrong if we are saying we need people for 24 hours. I mean, when you talk about service delivery in South Africa, we must check what is the problem about service delivery. It's because if people complain about the pipes, they complain about electricity, the municipality, you wait for tomorrow or you will wait for a week before you get service. For me, service delivery, it should be every day, every minute.
The argument by those who are already in leadership, both in local government, provincial and national, is that there's not enough money to do many of the things that are a requirement. The state doesn't have enough money. Where would we get this money to immediately deal with some of these challenges, especially at local government level?
No. But you must also understand, if people are unemployed, I mean, they can't pay service because they are unemployed. So the only solution is to create employment for them so that they can pay for those services so the municipality can get revenue. But if they are unemployed, you'll have the problem. For me, I need people of South Africa to come with innovation and create jobs for not people who went to school, for not youth, for all citizens who qualifies to work. Because for me, if you are saying you are creating employment for youth, you are discriminating against the older people, because you are also pushing the gap this side to create for youth. What about the people who are old? I mean, when I talk about old, I'm talking about 40 years upwards. You can't get jobs because they are saying you are old. For me, it's nonsensical. South Africa must create jobs for everyone, whether you are a cleaner, you are a gardener, you are a plumber. Everybody must work. If you went to university, good for you, but you must also work.
Mr. Mzuneng, I'm going to ask you to put your headphones on because there is a voice note that's coming through. Let's take a listen to Sammy.
Good evening, Pimelo. I'd like to know from Mr. Claudio Mzuneng as to what is he going to do to sort out all these problems that are facing our country. I need to know the how, as opposed to what is he going to do. So I need to know, how is he going to overhaul our education system? How is he going to sort out our collapsing healthcare system? How is he going to sort out the crime problem within our country? And also, how is he going to sort out the Eskom and the Transnet issues, the railway systems? All of these things, how is he going to go about it, as opposed to what is he going to do? I need to know how.
Mr. Mzuneng?
No, you need intelligent people like myself to fix South African that. Firstly, we need to overhaul our educational system, because our educational system, it doesn't assist our students. Because after university, you go try to get work, you can't find work because you don't have experience, which is nonsensical, because no one was born with experience. But in short, what we need to do in education, my belief is, you know, some of us, when we grow up, there were inspectors, they will identify students that, no, this one is not good in math, example. This one is good in artwork. So you have what you call AMBAG in the past. You need to bring those, you need to have those colleges to deal with skills, how people to learn to do the work, not the theory part, but the work. If you have people who are going to university, good, but you also need those colleges where people will do will learn about skills. What is lacking in South Africa? We need skills.
The TVET colleges, you don't think they're adequate?
No, they are there, but I think the mistake that we are doing, even parents, we want our kids to be doctors, to be whatever, but not all of them will be doctors. We should allow people to use their talent. If you see your child is not interested in school, good for him. Identify what the child wants to do and support the child. For me, those are the issues that we need to do, but we should not force our children to be doctors or to become whatever that we wish them, or scientists, for example.
Sami spoke about state-owned entities. Let's also maybe ask you how you feel, and you think we got to this point where so many of them have become, you know, non-functioning state entities.
No, you see, for me, it's all about leadership. If you have good leaders, you have people who think, you have people who knows how to lead other people. Remember, as a leader, it doesn't mean you are the best as a leader. But under you, you need people who understand, people who know how to fix things, but you need to lead them. But I don't think that SOEs, they are in serious problems. From where I'm sitting, I think the problem is not those SOEs. The problem is people who are leading those SOEs. If you have good people with right skills, with right leadership, I think they can do well.
The issues of corruption has been an issue that everybody says is part of the reason why we sit and say we don't have money in the fiscus. Your take on how we got here?
You see, those who talk about corruption, for me, those who talk a lot about corruption, especially if they are part of government, they are the most corrupt people. Because they were saying that no state capture. But state capture is still happening. And you know, when you talk about corruption, you can't fix corruption by the books, by the governance that people are talking about. It's ethical. It's moral. So, I mean, if you have moral, you have ethics, you won't commit corruption.
And so how do we prevent it? Because, I mean, how are you going to test whether people are moral or not?
No, look, for corruption, it's a difficult one because it's within the person. I mean, corruption will be always there because for me, it's within the person. But as people, if we talk about corruption, it depends what kind of corruption, what people do. You know, if someone can say people do this, they do corruption, they commit corruption by this, I can answer that.
Yeah. Crime is a big issue in this country. In fact, just before we spoke to you, there was a conversation around crime, but also what seems to be big tensions between security agencies. Your take on how those things should be tackled?
No, you know crime. What caused crime? You see, problem in South Africa, we just talk about crime. We don't deal with the source. What caused crime? One of the issues that cause crime is unemployment. If people are not working, they will go and steal. And I'm not saying there will be no crime, but I'm just saying more crime is caused by many people are not working. We must fix this issue of unemployment. We will reduce crime from where I'm sitting. But also, crime is also caused by not paying the police well. You see, because these people who are police, they work with crooks, you know, with people who are very dangerous. but they are not paid well. You see, for me, if you paid the workers well, they will work, they won't take bribe because they are fine with money. But if you know that, hey, at home, my children, they need this, they need that, I can't afford. I mean, someone come with bag of money, you will take that money.
And we are looking at our road to the elections, and the hashtag is Elections on Kaya. And my guest this evening is Claude Muzoneng, who's the leader of the African Content Movement. He's here for your questions as well. 086-000-0959. You can send in your X's at Kaya on air. You can also send a voice note on 063-688-0959. Mr. Muzoneng, thanks again for staying with us. Here is a question from Wendy on X, who says, I'm having trouble finding your manifesto on your website. Is it available?
What is manifesto? No, someone must tell me what is manifesto, and then I can answer the question. What is manifesto?
So it's not going to be, you're not going to be producing.
No,
manifesto.
I'm not a follower. I'm not a follower where people talk about manifesto. I must talk about manifesto. I'm not a follower. I'm a leader. I have my own brain to think about issues. So I can't talk about a manifesto, because manifesto for me, my understanding, it means something else. It can't resolve the issue of South Africa.
Mm. Nduka Maseko on X is also asking, what is your view on the formation of Mkhonto we Sizwe party?
I can't comment on other people's party. I'm here for my party. Mm.
He says, which province does you think your party will get a lot of votes from?
It's obvious. Home, Free State.
Free State.
It's obvious.
We've seen your campaigning in the Free State as well.
No, it's obvious.
And he's also, his last question says, lastly, will you be working with the ANC if the need arises?
You see, I don't even want to think about that. I will think about that after elections. Now I'm thinking about my party.
Are there parties you are not at all aligned with and you will not consider working with?
No, I don't want to align myself with anyone.
Yes.
The voters will decide. Mm-hmm. If the voters decide for a coalition, at that point, mm-hmm. I will be able
to make that decision.
Yes, not now.
Yeah. There is a question around your foreign policy and what your views are about what is happening in Gaza and how South Africa has positioned itself and is reacting to what is happening in that conflict.
Hey, you know, normally, you see, I don't like to talk about other countries, although I know that there are some implication amongst all the nations. But for me, my priority is to fix locally South Africa before I can think about other people.
We've spoken about infrastructure, you've spoken about water, energy, roads, some state-owned entities. What other issues come to mind? Let's maybe look at the health issue in this country. How are you going to get the health system working again?
You know, for me, in South Africa, I think we just need leadership. And I want to emphasize, there is no leadership. If you talk about the health system, mm-hmm. I mean, if you have a hospital, you should have all the resources that the doctors, the nurses needs, all people who are working in that hospital. Everything must be there. But also, you need to make sure that not just hospitals. You know, because I come from rural areas, in Kwagwa, Tababusiu. In many clinics, you don't have doctors, you see. So we need to have doctors in those clinics for 24 hours. We need to have ambulances in the evening, especially when people are sick. Locally, those clinics, they should operate like hospital. For me, those are the issues that we need to do in South Africa. If you do that, I think we'll be able to deal with many issues. But also, you need manpower. Mm-hmm. You need to employ more nurses. You need to pay them well. You need to employ more doctors. You need to pay them well so that people, they don't leave our country and try to go outside so that they can get more money outside the country.
What are your views on the NHI?
You see, everything that assists our people, I support it, especially those ordinary citizens, those who can't afford medical aid.
Would you keep it as it is, or you are advocating for universal health care but in a different structure?
No.
The current NHI as proposed by government right now.
You know, I'm very radical. I don't think even a private hospital, they should refuse someone who's sick, someone who's dying. The law must make sure that we protect such people. If they don't have money, I mean, they should be looked after, whether it's a private hospital or it is a public hospital.
We spoke a little bit about education, and you were talking about how we should allow young people, learners who are not necessarily prepared to go the mainstream way, to give them other options. But let's talk about the program that we currently have been discussing, NSFAS. Would you keep NSFAS as it is currently? Would you have a different opinion on fees, tertiary fees?
You see, my belief is if we can create employment, all issues will be resolved in South Africa. Remember, these students are struggling. Why? Because their parents, they can't afford, because they are not working. But if people are working, they will be able to afford to pay for their children.
I'm going to take another voice note. Here is a voice note from William that's coming through now. Let's take a listen.
Oh, wish there were more of you, but it's only you. We hear you. We wish. If wishes were horses, we would ride. Being expelled from the SABC was just a mistake. Yeah. But we know everybody is doing whatever they want. But you had it spot on. Let Africa thrive. We need more of you.
There's another voice note, Mr. Mzuning. You can respond to this first one after this. There's Mguni also with a voice note.
Pimela, that guy who is in the studio with you is a bloviator. Full stop. Period. Claudine Swenning is a bloviator.
Do you want to respond to both voice notes?
No. I always appreciate because I know that I'm capable to lead. You know, one thing that a leader needs, you need to have a caring heart. You need to have pain. When people are suffering, you see they are suffering. You need to suffer. So if you don't have that pain of people when they are suffering, when people are saying we are unemployed, we can't take our children to school, you can't sleep as a leader. You must work 24 hours. You know, I have demonstrated that when I was working there at the SABC. I mean, the cleaners will tell you, the securities will tell you, the workers, I said they must be paid well. All these production houses, I'm the first person to make sure that these actors that they were just there as celebrities, they are workers. You know, I have a caring heart. First, you need to have a caring heart. You will resolve many issues. In any case, remember, people must understand that as a leader, I'm not the one who's doing the work. But I must lead people to perform and do the work. You see, that's all that I need to do.
Would you be scrapping the grants?
No. I'm not going to do that. But what I'm going to do, I want to reduce grants. I want to create more employment for people so that we reduce grants, people that don't depend on grants. You know, I always have pain. You know, many people of South Africa, they like to copy. You know, what is happening in China? What is happening in India? I'm just giving you an example. They use what they call benchmark. Why do you South Africans use other countries as their benchmark? Which means we as South Africans, we are saying we are stupid. We can't think for ourselves. We can't create innovations ourselves. I want those countries outside to use South Africa as their benchmark. That is what I wish that if I can be given an opportunity, people will see different South Africa.
You reminded us that you come from a rural area. Lots of people move, as you know, for employment opportunities to urban areas. And a lot of people in the rural areas feel neglected, that government neglects them. What would your plan be for rural South Africa?
No, what I stand for is 90%. What I mean by 90%, I want, example, Free State to create employment for people of Free State, in the Free State. You know, everything, the economy must grow in that province. I'm just doing example in other provinces. Because even when I was at the SABC, I said all those actors, they should not come to Gauteng, and the artists generally, they must perform where they are. We must build the studios where they are, so that you don't have many people fighting for whatever opportunities in Gauteng. Why people can't fight for opportunities where they are staying? I want to create that environment that local is lekker. Let us make sure that we grow all these provinces, we grow their economy.
If we remain with the grant in place while you grow the economy, would you leave it at 350 rand?
But who can live with 350 rand, to be honest? No one. You know, 350, and when I live here in the studio, I'm going to buy something that is gone. So no one. It's a shame. But we need to create employment. For me, I see grants, but the grants is not the solution in South Africa. We need to create employment for our people. And our people, they are clever. They have their own ideas, but we don't give them opportunities, especially government, to create that conducive environment for them and assist them, because we are developing. When you develop your own human beings, your own persons in South Africa.
Have you worked on scenarios of what your minimum wage would be proposed at?
I don't want people to go to Machonisa if they are working. I mean, it will be a living wage. I'm not talking about millions, but it will be, everyone will get a living wage. Mm-hmm. A living wage, me and people of South Africa, you'll know how much you want for someone to live at home, look after their children. You know how much you need. Example, you can't pay people 10,000 rands a month. That is me. Even a cleaner or a gardener.
So what would be your proposed rate, let's say, for a cleaner, as you said?
A cleaner, 15,000. Yes.
And
remember, these people are professionals. Mm-hmm. You know, South Africa, we make a mistake that professionals are those people who are doctors, who are everyone in his sphere. Mm-hmm. He's a professional, mm-hmm. or she is a professional.
Part of the issue you'd have, though, is that you would not be the employer. Most cleaners would be working either in homes, people's homes. You know, the hospitality industry has never complied with some of the regulations. How are we going to manage that?
If I'm the president, it is going to happen. There are issues that I don't negotiate. If I see these things are not assisting our people, I don't negotiate. Go and ask SABC, they will tell you. I don't negotiate.
What's your remedy for those who don't comply?
Get rid of them. If it's a private sector, mm-hmm. we'll make sure that, you know, we put it, it's a crime. Mm-hmm. If you don't follow the regulation of the country, mm-hmm. it's a crime.
I'll take a call from Ndatis LB, who's calling us from Orange Farm. Good evening and welcome, Ndatis LB.
Good evening, Pamela and Tatemo Training. How are you?
Good. How are you, Ndatis LB?
I'm blessed beyond measure.
Excellent.
Yeah. Ndatemo Training, how are you?
Kitenda dono guy.
Ah, Jesus, the host of Abusa. I like to know, Hore, how are you going to deal with the land issue? Because Nike Hula Nike, the Hutsi Kilwana Lima Buru, Kilwana Lahore, is 10 Taro Nike Senyan. But at this point in time, Navam Pines Tennis Senyana, all of it as a Kihuleting Mosso. But to show that the land issue is still a problem.
Thank you. Thanks, Sadis LB.
No, I agree, Lentate. Land issue ke problem in South Africa. But the problem in South Africa, we always negotiate. We should not negotiate now. We don't have time to negotiate. We have time to implement.
So would you be for expropriation of land with or without compensation?
You see, I believe that people who bought land, we must have discussion with them because they have bought land. I'm just saying about white people, to be specific.
Mm-hmm.
They have bought that land. They have developed that land. But government must make sure that they talk to people, those who have land, and try to mediate between those who want land and land and those who don't have land. But for me, I need a peaceful resolution. I can't say, no, go and do this. No. Remember, all of us, we are South Africans, including white people. But also they must understand that they need to create opportunities for black people, because we are all living in South Africa. But I don't want where we can say, no, someone has developed his land. Now you just go there and grab the land. No.
So what would you be your process then as government?
The process, firstly, is to engage with the owners of the land. Mm-hmm. Those who are owning the land privately.
Would you offer value for that money, for that land?
Yes, but not unreasonable value.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, remember there are some people who make some surveys. They will check, talk about this commercial value. Yes, they will come to a certain price, so we'll go with that price.
And you would be happy with that? So you would be advocating for compensation?
Yes.
All of the land?
Not all of the land. It will depend.
Mm.
I mean, remember, this land, there are some issues.
Mm.
But what I'm saying, you need to engage people so that there is understanding. Even if you come with regulations, you need to have understanding with those people who are owning the land.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to South Africa to have a situation where now you have people fighting like other African countries. I think South Africa has done well to manage democracy. We must keep managing democracy. We must keep uniting our people, black and white.
All right. Ngosinati says, I think you've partially responded to this, but he says, what's your take on the electricity and water crisis in Mzansi?
You see, I'm going to give you an example. The problem in South Africa is maintenance when it comes to water. Example, where I come from, Kwagwa, Maludia Pofung, in that former homeland, our parents paid what they call stabata to build those dams. Three dams. They were feeding all people of Maludia Pofung, but they are now feeding South Africa. And people in Maludia Pofung, they don't have water, but other people, they have water. But the problem is maintenance. Because if you don't maintain anything that you don't maintain, it's a problem. And I'm happy because you're also maintaining your building here. If you don't maintain your building, it will collapse. So we just need to maintain everything that we have. Remember, even the schools. Because I'm asking myself, why the schools are closing now? Many schools are, if you go to certain areas, they close the schools. But why people were building schools when I think now we have more people than before, but we are closing schools? So those are the issues that we need to think about. But also, remember, when we came to power as black people, and we must also admit, we wanted to destroy everything that was built by the apartheid, thinking that we would come and build everything, it will be new, not knowing that actually we are destroying what is already there. So we just need to maintain what we have and build what we don't have.
I'll take a quick break and I'll be back with more of your questions. My guest is Tlhaudi Motsoeneng and he is the leader of the African Content Movement. So we're in conversation with Tlhaudi Motsoeneng, who's the leader of African Content Movement. He's in studio with us. We are looking at his plans for the elections. We're going to the elections and the hashtag is Elections on Kaya. And you can ask your questions at Kaya on Air. That's where you can find us on X. You can call in 086-000-0095 or you can send a voice note on 0636880959. Mr. Motsoeneng, I want us to tackle, this is a question that's coming from X. It's from Sbu, who says, we know that this country has a problem with gender-based violence. What would you be your recommendation for tackling gender-based violence in this country?
Yeah, hey, that one. But you see, for me, as human beings, we don't deal with the source of this gender issue, fighting amongst partners and so on. I think that, I mean, if someone attack other person, maybe your partners, it is not starting now. It has been building up. So we must tell our people, if you have a partner, you realize that there is a change, leave the person. Don't bother yourself about, I love this person. What do you love? If the person abuse you, what is love there? There is no love there. So, but it should start with us as people in our homes, you know, and talk about these issues. I mean, there is always difference between partners. It's normal. But no one must abuse other person. So for me, I don't think, you see, you have many dialogues. And South Africans, they love dialogues. So I don't understand what is this dialogues every time. I don't know how many President Ramaphosa has done dialogues with people, but I don't see the results. For me, it's let's do the basics. People must respect women. Women must respect. We must respect each other. Let me put like that. But if someone you can see that the behavior is changing, no, don't even waste your time. Just leave the person. Don't say, don't fight for a house because you'll die in that house. Just go out. You can maybe deal with issues legally, so outside, but not in that environment.
We have a housing problem in the country, long backlog of people who have been promised homes, who are on RDP lists. We have issues with accommodation that has been given, rental accommodation by some municipalities. Your way in which you're going to resolve this, and especially because we still have a lot of informal settlements, and every time people are moved, they go back to the same space, sometimes start a new informal settlements. Your way to resolve this?
You know, my way is only one. Create employment. That is my way, nothing else. All these issues are caused because people are not employed. People are not working. Great employment. Also, you see the RDP houses that you are referring to. I'm also against that because I believe that we should have a bank. I mean, according to your salary, that bank should be able to assist you. But you must work so that you are able to build your own house.
Is this a state bank that you alluding to?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, like, example, people believe that the RDP came with the ANC. No. The RDP has been there where I come from during Dr. T.K. Mopedi. We were not calling it RDP. We called it Maskopas. Because there were many colors. This a small four rooms. But there was what you call it FDC. Mm-hmm. That FDC, their main task was to assist those people who can't afford. And those people pay a flat rates, you know, and no interest, you know, because government must assist the people.
I see there is, someone says, Nati says, well, you have some valid points, like the 350 grant situation. We hope that you have figured out how the state is going to afford more grants. As you are saying, 350 is not enough.
I think, remember I said I'm not a believer for people to get grants.
Yes.
So what I said we need to create employment. We need to reduce people who are depending on grants. Because for me, to be honest, if you have people who can't think, you see, the only thinking is to give people grants because they can't come with innovations to assist the people to get employment. Mm. So that is what I want to get rid of. Mm. But it's people of South Africa who should come with those innovations. Government must just make sure that they assist them. You know, if a Chinese can come from China and pitch something here, we will believe that Chinese person. If you, a black person, you go and pitch same thing with the person, they won't believe you. And I have experience for that.
The issue of illegal mining is becoming a problem, especially in communities where you have abandoned mines. In your view, what would be the solution to give artisanal mining licenses? Or what are your options with what you think needs to be done with the illegal mining that we're seeing at the moment?
You see, the only concern that I have about illegal mining is most of this crime are caused by people who are coming from outside. Mm-hmm. That is the only concern that I have. But I believe that people who work in those mines, they should be empowered and own certain portion of mines. So that, because people who do this is people who come from the mines, it's people who knows what is happening there. So I believe that those people create opportunities for them so that there is employment, they also employ other people. So that is what I believe, that we must spread this cake for black people to be in all those mine sectors. Because to be honest, who owns the mine in South Africa?
Does that mean you would want to then review our policies around mine ownership?
Now people talk about policies. Now I just do things. If I'm saying I'm going to do this...
Well, the reason I'm asking is that you know that mining companies are not just going to give away their stake. We would have had that happen a long time ago.
No. If I'm the president, the interest is not... the owners of the mines or people who runs the mines. The interest is people of South Africa. How do we assist the people of South Africa? That's why I was saying to you, some of the issues we don't negotiate. I won't have many dialogues, and then I come fat because it's workshop after workshop, dialogue after workshop, you are just eating. No, for me, it's things must be done.
So what would you like to see happen with the mining sector?
I want to see more black people mm-hmm. running those mines, mm-hmm. Being empowered, and government assist them financially so that they are able to run the mines themselves.
And the ownership, I see you referring to the fact that you'd want some of that mine to be owned by workers. What would that split look like that would be directed by you?
The split, it must be... guided by majority mm-hmm. of people in South Africa, which means more black people must own those mines.
But we've got those policies anyway. Are you saying the workers or the owners?
No. That's why policies is a problem. Remember, those policies, people generated those policies, and those policies are very difficult. Mm-hmm. For people to enter the space. Mm. So what I'm saying, if you have such policies, you just get rid of them. Mm-hmm. You just put those regulations that are going to assist people, not negotiating.
So what I'm asking is the regulation of black people. Are you speaking of black people who come in, as we've seen, at the top level of the structure, or you are referring to the workers? And I'm asking, what would then...
Mm-hmm. Remember, you ask about the Zamazama, illegal mining.
Yes.
So those are workers.
Yes.
I'm saying those workers, mm-hmm. they must also own part of the mines, which means you must empower those workers to be business people.
Yes, but Mr. Mutoneng, most of those Zamazamas are working in mines that have been abandoned already.
No, but...
And you know, many of them don't even want to admit that they own those mines.
No. But those mines that are not operating,
mm-hmm.
that's why I'm saying there are mines that are operating.
Okay.
You take those people, they get a certain percentage in those mines.
So the percentages that you're speaking of are of the workers
yes.
in the current working mines?
Yes.
Okay. So the issue of the illegal mining... what would you do there? You said your issue is the fact that most of them are foreigners. So what do we do? How do we resolve that?
No,
because those are already abandoned mines.
No. You put police to police such environment.
Mm-hmm.
You put security. Even not police. You can put security to patrol that environment mm-hmm. so that you don't have these problems that we are facing.
Mm-hmm. I quickly want to just look at another. Adam is asking the question of what is your solution with regards to the water issue. You spoke a little bit about water, but it will take a long time to deal with the lack of water in the country. We are a water scarce country, and building dams will not happen overnight.
No, look, when it comes to water, I believe not water only.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I said I want to create South Africa that you will create double jobs. Let me put like that. Mm-hmm. Remember, most of the time you have people who are working daily.
Yes.
But I also want to create
a
where people are working during the night and they work 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like people who are working daily, they also work 8 hours. So all these problems will be fixed quicker because we'll be having people working for 24 hours.
Mm. Wendy's asking, how do you intend to deal with high levels of sexual violence and murder perpetrated against particularly black lesbians in South Africa?
You know, this issue is a very difficult issue. You know, things are not difficult for me, but this one, It's a very difficult issue because for me it's us as human beings not accepting other people the way they are.
Mm.
So we just need to be human beings and love each other. It doesn't matter what, whether lesbian or gay. We must just love these people because they are there. We can't get rid of them. So for me, but if people commit crime, the law must deal with them.
Sarah is asking on X, how are you going to deal with the porous borders that we are seeing at the moment?
look, for me, it's a big issue, that one, because we must also check why people are coming to South Africa. There are many things that why people are coming to South Africa. War, unemployment, and so on. As Africa, we need to unite. We need to talk to other African countries to create employment for those people, to stop war in those areas. Remember, Africa is rich. I'm not talking about South Africa. But we must understand why people are coming.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if you have borders, people have other way of coming to any country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know, example, Lesotho, there are borders. But people, they don't use those borders. They use other areas to enter. So it is going to be a very difficult issue to deal with.
Mm-hmm. Lerato is asking on X as well, is saying, would you leave the curriculum as it is currently?
I think I did talk about that earlier, where I said that we need to overhaul our educational system. We need to accept that there are those people who are talented. So if they want to go to colleges, we must allow at young age, we must allow them to do that. If they want to go to universities, those who want to do that, they must do that. If they want to be singers.
When would you suggest, you're saying at a young age, when do you suggest that those choices come kick in?
No, those choices, they come from the teachers, because the teachers daily, they assess the children. They will know this child is interested in this part. This child is interested in this part. So that one will be determined by the teachers. But remember, we must have systems mm-hmm. to deal with it.
How early would that be for, in your view?
From my side, I think from age 12.
From I suppose age, when you transition into the high school phase.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mr. Mutsoneng, someone says we have a struggling economy. We have people who are out of jobs. You speak of creating jobs, but currently people do not get the right services from social development. How are you going to make sure that social development has enough capacity to deal with the crisis that we have right now?
Maybe if I can understand what she mean or mm-hmm. what you mean by social development. Talking about the department or...
Maybe the department. All right. I don't know.
To understand the question because I can't just answer because I don't understand the question.
I've got Polly from Southgate calling. Good evening and welcome, Polly.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Go ahead.
Just a comment for Mr. Saudi. I listened on the radio for his response. I really want to believe him, but he sounds overly simplistic in how he deals with some of the issues.
Did you say it's just a comment, Polly? Is that it?
Yes, I'll listen to his response on the radio.
All right.
But he sounds overly simplistic.
All right. Mr. Mazur,
thank you.
Thank you, Polly.
No, I think I think it's referring to issues that I said I must do, no matter what. I think people should just give me a chance. They will see a different South Africa. Mm-hmm. I don't mean that I can't consult people, but I can't consult for everything.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that during this time, elections time, I'm just giving you an example. You have Imbizos, where the president and his cabinet, they go all over the country and ask the people about their problems. What is that nonsensical? What are you asking people for? Because you know what are the problems of people. You go and visit a sheikhs and forum. You sit in that forum at the sofa is falling apart. You are smiling that, no, you see, I'm working. I'm with people. It's nonsensical. For me, there are issues that really, when I was saying I don't believe in this manifesto thing, because what I believe is the needs of people. What people need, that is what we need to deal with it. And what people need is those basic services for themselves, but you can't negotiate for those things. I can't go and ask people about them. I can't ask people to resolve the issues, because when you are elected to resolve the issues. You are not elected to go back to people and tell them about problems, because if you do that, you're not fit for purpose.
Anonymous is on the line from Johannesburg. Good evening and welcome, Anonymous. Hi, Anonymous. Can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay,
you
were
talking about it's nice to have Cloudy Motsoneng in studio. After that, you're having Cloudy Motsoneng in studio. What about he's talking about job employment? But look at Gaitan McKenzie and Kenny Kuniene. They don't want foreigners. They say that all foreigners must go in that.
Anonymous, you're speaking to Mr. Motsoneng. When Gaitan comes in, you're speaking to Gaitan. You don't have a question for Mr. Modani? All right, I think we're going to let it go. Mr. Mutsoneng, how many provinces are you going to be contesting?
I'm contesting Free State only.
Okay.
And that is caused by the financials. But I'm also contesting nationally.
Yes.
So
yes.
I mean, I'm contesting at national level, mm-hmm. which means all people who live in other provinces.
Mm-hmm. You're a presidential candidate as well.
Yes, all provinces, mm-hmm. they must vote for me nationally, all provinces. But in the province, I'm only contesting, for provinces, I'm only contesting Free State, because that is where I'm working now. I wish I can go to everyone, but because of the financials, I can't go to everyone, but I believe that people of South Africa, they know my work. They will vote for me.
Appreciate you coming through. Really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It was good to be here.
Claudia Mtseleng is the leader of African Content Movement, as you heard it from yourself. That will be available on a podcast. You can go to our social media platforms. This particular conversation will be available there. It's a minute after 10. Thanks, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow at 8.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.